Good Shepherd Sermon for Sunday, November 10th, 2019. Pastor John Melke.
Good Shepherd Lutheran Church and School is located in Wisconsin Rapids, Wisconsin, in the United States. Our mission is simple and bold. We seek to grow in faith and knowledge of our Savior Jesus. We want to make him known to others so that they too may share the joys that Jesus has won for them. Here's Pastor.
Grace and mercy and peace are all yours from God our Father and our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Brothers and sisters in Christ, we are in the end times. And you're going to say to me, obviously, Pastor John, of course we're in the end times. We hear about it all the time. I'm not talking about what's going on currently in our world. I'm talking about the church here. Did you know that last weekend and today and now the next two Sundays, we are in the end times of the church year, a four-week series that we maybe don't always remember, a four-week plan for us to focus on the end times. Now, I guess that it probably does not stand up there as high as it would like the time of Christmas or the time of Easter, but the end times are very important for us to talk about because we know that on the end time, the judgment day, the last judgment, which is today's focus, the last judgment is when it reminds us that Christ will come to judge the living and the dead. He's going to gather his elect, his chosen people together with him in the thrones of heaven. And that's reason for us to rejoice. But as we hear very clearly today, the fact also remains that he's going to condemn those who are unworthy, those who reject him, those who are no longer part of his family of faith, who have rejected the Christ, and send them to eternal punishment in hell. So today on this last judgment Sunday, this time in the end times, we are going to find an opportunity to look at how Jesus provides relief despite these end times. Jesus provides relief because and despite our pain, and he does it for all eternity. I read earlier from the lesson from the Apostle Paul, the second chapter or second book of the letter to the Thessalonican Christians. Thessalonica is in northern Greece. Paul visited there probably during his second missionary journey around the year 50 AD. He's visiting those people because of what had happened prior to that trip. He had come from Philippi. Remember that town? That's where he and Silas, his co-worker, had been able to perform a miracle by God's grace. They healed a woman who had an evil spirit within her, that girl. They were thrown in prison because of that miracle. And while they're in prison, remember what happened? The jailer was hearing about the message of the gospel. The jailer wanted to hear more and more, and he got his whole family together, and the whole family was baptized. What does that remind you about? We promoted it several times. We talked about it several times. Last Sunday here at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, a mother and her children were all baptized here at Good Shepherd. What a wonderful day that was. Just like it happened there in the town of Philippi. Then what happened? Well, they were kicked out after they were released from jail. They were kicked out and they went to Thessalonica. And then Paul spends 3 weeks preaching to them on the weekends and on the weekdays, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. In fact, in Acts chapter 17, we are told, Paul says, this Jesus I am proclaiming to you is the Christ. He let them know that Jesus Christ came to live, to suffer, to die for the sins of the world. And they believed it. Many of the Jews believed that message of the gospel that Paul was proclaiming in Thessalonica. Many Greeks believed it as well, but not everybody. There were still unbelievers in that town, of course, and those unbelievers were mad. They were upset because the gospel was being promoted. They did not want the gospel to be promoted in that town. So the unbelievers rebelled. And after a while, Paul left. And he went to the town of Berea, the next town up the road. And if you remember the story of Berea, remember how they examined the scriptures every day to see what the Apostle Paul was saying was God's truth? There they were in Berea, proclaiming the gospel. Many people believed in that message as well. But those unbelieving Thessalonians came up from the town to Berea and tried to attack Paul and attack that faith because they did not want that message of the gospel to be shared and proclaimed. It was the end times then as well, wasn't it? Lots of ridicule, lots of persecution. You can see how zealous unbelieving people were in that day. Zealous to stop the gospel from being proclaimed. But what happened? We're told that the Apostle Paul told the Thessalonian Christians these good words just prior to our text. Despite the fact that they were facing persecution, trumped up charges, heartache, hardship, troubles, damage to their family life and their business, Paul says these words about these Christians in Thessalonica. We are always obligated to thank God for you, brothers, as is fitting, because your faith is growing more and more, and the love that each and every one of you has for one another is increasing. This is happening while they're going through persecution, heartache, and hardship. Paul goes on to say, so we ourselves boast about you in God's churches in regard to your patient endurance and faith in all your persecutions and in the trials that you are enduring. Perseverance and faith were happening for those Christians in Thessalonica 2,000 years ago, despite the persecutions to their faith, despite the trials they were enduring that faith, because Paul says, despite the pain, Jesus provides relief. Jesus provides relief for you. Unbelieving people in those days were attacking these Christians in Thessalonica, but Paul says, this is evidence of God's righteous verdict that resulted in your being counted worthy of God's kingdom, for which you also suffer. As those Christians in Thessalonica were suffering for the gospel, Paul says, you are being counted worthy of God, worthy to be counted worthy in God's kingdom. What a treasure that had to be for them to hear as they're dealing with persecution, trouble, heartache, and hardship, and sickness, and perhaps even death for their faith. What a joy that was for them to hear that Jesus was willing to count them worthy because they were hearing the gospel and believing it and sharing it among others. The fact that they were willing to die for their faith tells me that what they were hearing from the Apostle Paul must have had some value. Must have been something worth accepting. And we hear that throughout the Old Testament and New Testament scriptures, don't we? Think about the Apostle Peter. When he and John were flogged by the Jewish Sanhedrin, it says in Acts chapter 5, the apostles left the Sanhedrin rejoicing because they had been counted worthy of suffering disgrace for the name of Jesus. Suffering for their faith. And yet Jesus was bringing them relief, granting them relief, providing them relief despite their pain. The Apostle Paul talks about how he had been in prison, and the Roman soldiers were able to hear that same gospel message, and he says that the message was going on while he was imprisoned. So the gospel is still bearing fruit among Roman soldiers even while Paul is in jail. And I guess we could look throughout all of human history, especially the last 2,000 years, and we have seen God's people, probably well known to us in the pages of history, and also those who are behind the scenes that we don't even know about, who gave up their lives for the gospel of Jesus Christ, who suffered much pain and hardship and headaches for the gospel. And that's true today, isn't it? In the 21st century, it isn't very hard for us to hear on the news. Look at our Twitter account, read in the newspaper, watching the television set, where Christians are being persecuted for their faith in Christ, suffering pain and misery and loss of life, loss of jobs, loss of family members, because they trust in Jesus as their only Savior. Jesus provides them relief despite the pain, because they know that through the gospel they have the forgiveness of sins and the joy of heaven with him in eternity. Jesus provides the relief, not just here in this earth, but also for eternity. Paul writes this in our text. Certainly it is right for God. I'm sorry, wrong page. Where did I go? Here it is. On that day when he comes to be glorified among his saints and to be marveled at among all those who have believed, because our testimony to you was believed. Because our testimony among you was believed. Because of the gospel of Jesus Christ taking root in people's hearts, they were motivated by the gospel to know that they could despite the pain, enjoy relief from our God for all eternity. The Lord God has said the same thing to you, hasn't he? Despite the pain and misery that you face in this earth, despite the troubles that you have, the heartaches that you endure, God says that he provides relief for you for all eternity. Today and tomorrow and probably throughout the week, we're going to honor our veterans, our military veterans, for their sacrifice that they gave. We'll have them stand at the end of the service today. We'll have a prayer for them today. We'll think about them tomorrow, Veterans Day. What a great honor that is to give tribute to those who have sacrificed, the men and women who have served our country and given us the freedoms that we have to enjoy, the religious right to share our faith and to live our faith and to worship here in this godly place today. That's why they bring safety to us, safety and security to help us understand that our God provides for us even through our military veterans. But you know, there's even greater safety than that. The Commander-in-Chief, our Lord Savior Jesus Christ himself, stands before you and says, I've defeated the devil, the world, and our sinful flesh. Jesus tells us that the Commander-in-Chief himself is there to bring us safety. He says in his word that he gathers his sheep in his arms and holds them close to his heart. He says to look ahead, for the end is drawing near. Your redemption is drawing nigh. Jesus says that he wraps his arms around us and loves us with a dear heart so that we can be saved for now and for all eternity. On that day when Jesus returns, we know that we will be with him in heaven. And I know Pastor Tolberg's here somewhere. I don't want to steal his thunder. But next week is Saints Triumphant Sunday, the third Sunday of the end times. Pastor's going to talk about that Saints Triumphant focus, where we remember the saints who have gone before us and how we're going to be a saint with the Lord Jesus and all his angels in heaven one day. That's part of the joy of celebrating the end times, isn't it? What a relief that Jesus provides us now and for all eternity. The church in Thessalonica suffered lots of persecution, suffering, even death. But did you know that they were a model for outreach? Yeah, can you believe it? The more they shared the love of Jesus, their Savior, the more they were persecuted. The more they shared their love of God and their neighbor, the more they suffered. I have to ask myself the question, would I be so bold? Would I be so confident? I don't always think I would be. I'm a sinner, a saint, but also a sinner. And I fail miserably time and time again, unwilling to share the love of Jesus, my Savior, with those around me when I have the opportunity. Perhaps you feel the same way too sometimes. The Lord God says, come to me, you who are weary and burdened, and I'll give you rest for your souls. The comfort of knowing that your sins are forgiven, despite the fact that we fail to offer up the message of the gospel to those around us. Jesus says that he provides relief for all eternity. And Jesus says we want to thank him. Thank him for what he's done for us. Isn't really a thank you a chance to say to those around us, Jesus means something to us? I mean, he comes to us in his word and he says, I've lived a perfect life in your place. He comes to us in his word and he says, I went to the cross and suffered death for you to take away all your sins. He says, I came to the life and died for you, but I rose victoriously from the grave for you, so you have all your sins forgiven, that you have a home of heaven awaiting you in glory one day. That's the good news of Jesus Christ, our loving Savior. Can we not help but say we want to share that message with others? Share that message of Jesus Christ, our living and Savior, Redeemer. There's so many ways we can accomplish that. We accomplish that by talking to our loved ones in our homes. Talk about it with our loved ones on our way to church, way to school, way to work. Talk about our friends and neighbors when we have them contact with them. The message needs to be shared because the day is dawning, the day is coming soon, the last day, when it'll be too late. And God will punish those who do not trust in Jesus as their Savior, and their reward, unfortunately, will be, as God says, departed from Jesus, those who are cursed into the eternal hellfires with the evil angels. God has not allowed Judgment Day to come yet. Last day is not here yet because the Lord has a plan. that plans to use you and me and other Christians around the globe to share the message of Jesus Christ. To let them know that Jesus Christ paid for their sins. That Jesus Christ has renewed their bond so they have peace with him now and for eternity. Tomorrow's too late. Today's the day. Seize that day to let Jesus know that you are involved in sharing the message of the gospel to all those you come in contact with. Yeah, I know the last days don't seem to be so exciting as Christmas and Easter. Last judgment is not necessarily the sermon the pastor wants to preach, but he does want to preach the whole counsel of God. But it's a message that's worth repeating, a message worth saving, holding on to dearly with all our lives, because Jesus says he is able to provide relief despite the pain and for all eternity. Amen.